everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. Every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're always glad to have our audience join us. How are you doing, Chris?
Hey, pretty good. We're in that time of year where fall's sort of over, but it's getting to be sort of winterish, and I don't like cold weather.
I don't either. No. I don't either, and I lived in it. I grew up in it. I think I was traumatized by it.
Yeah, it gets to be November. I'm looking forward to May already.
Yeah, I know. So there's a lot of times we have to spend indoors. Maybe that's why we don't like it, because we're stuck inside a lot of times.
Well, if you're going to be inside, you might as well play video games. Have you played Fortnite
before? I have not played it, but I certainly know all about it.
It's the hottest game in the world right now. It has more than 125 million players.
Wow.
The first Fortnite World Cup will be held in 2019 with a prize pool of $100
million. $100 million? Seriously? $100 million?
Yes, that's what they say.
Norm, the producer's in there. He's my husband. We need to start getting tutored on how to play this game. Wow. Well, I don't have kids, honestly, who are big video game players. I think my kids were right. I have millennials.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were right on the verge of, you know, getting really obsessed with all of that.
Right.
But I do know about this game. I actually heard about it on a doctor radio show.
Hmm.
Can you believe? I was listening to it. It was about internet addiction. And I went to gamequitters.com to get a synopsis of the game. So here's what they say. It's a multiplayer battle royale version, involves up to 100 people playing against each other, and is probably the version that your child is playing or wanting to play, as opposed to the version that's called Save the Day. That's a solo version, which is also available, but probably not the one your child is obsessing over. So it's a shooter game, a little bit similar to Hunger Games, so a lot of people think of when they play it, where players are dropped unarmed onto an island. There, they must make their way to houses where they find weapons that they then use to shoot and kill. They build structures and try to avoid the destructive storm that threatens outside its safe zones. And the last player standing after all else are killed, so they kill everybody else, they're deemed the winner.
You know, I've got enough to worry about, much less this game. How do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, Fortnite can be played on a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One or on a computer, and then it's recently been released for Macintosh. And the Modern Parent website says it's not as violent as other shoot-and-kill games. It isn't as graphic as many of the other games are. It has been created with more of a cartoony or a Pixar-ish style, so there's no real blood or gore as such. For example, people in animal costumes attack astronauts with pickaxes.
Oh. Let's just stop on that sentence a minute. So people in animal costumes. Okay,
All right. That sort of tones down any real feeling of violence. So it's definitely more colorful and cartoonish and less dark and sinister than many of the other shooter games. But yes, you're still using weapons to kill.
So that's the Pixar-ish kind of feel for it, right?
Right,
the kind of cartoonish. I looked at it online, and it does have a real cartoonish kind of feel for it. You know, it takes about 20 minutes, but you can still keep going. So you could stop at 20 minutes, but these games are built with this adrenaline rush in them, and they're built to somewhat be addictive. So it's really hard for people to stop instead of just continuing to go. And it's a really heavily social game, as we see by all the people who are playing it,
right?
It's built in so that you get these little small victories, Chris, and then you get like a dopamine rush, which is the brain's reward system that gets triggered in the process of playing the game. And that's where it becomes more habitual. And then it has some elements of, you know, you master something and you kind of attain social status by playing this. It has a rating of teen with violence from the Entertainment Software Rating Board, and it's free, so it doesn't cost anything. But I do think you can buy things in the game, and you can actually spend some money if you want to.
Well, it can be played solo as well, but it, like you said, it's become more of a social thing where friends can team up in pairs or in fours, and they're not together physically, but they communicate over FaceTime, a headset linked to a game system or the like, to coordinate strategy, alert teammates to threats, root for one another, and trade back and forth in some conversation.
Okay, so here's the kicker for me, and we spent a lot of time explaining to parents, because you need to know what this game is, because the kids are all talking about it.
Right.
So if you don't know what Fortnite is, and you don't know that your child's playing it, you need to know what they're playing.
Well, it's my 10-year-old said, hey, have you heard of Fortnite? I said, yeah, and we're going to hold off on that for a little while before we start.
Yeah, 10-year-old. Yeah. She would probably have a lot of fun in that game knowing Evie. But here's the thing. This is the kicker for me. At least one college, Ohio University, mm-hmm. has announced it's offering scholarship money to skilled Fortnite players.
Wow.
Here's what parents are doing. They're paying tutors to come and coach their kids on how to be better players. They're paying about $25 to $50 an hour. Mm. We've missed our calling here.
Yeah,
we
really?
Could be video wow. tutors. And they're getting them to tutor their kids because they either want their kids to win a lot of money at the game. But here was the more disturbing part of this for me. They were doing this so that their kids could attain social status
right.
among their peer groups.
So when you did that news interview on parents who were paying for tutors to teach their kids how to win, you weren't a big fan of this approach.
No, I wasn't, because I'm not going to pay a tutor to help my child win so they can excel socially. I mean, mm-hmm. come on. You know, and how many kids are actually going to get a scholarship for this? I mean, this is probably less than entering the NFL.
Hey, it's 2018.
I know. But I really think parents need to stay out of their kids' social
right.
life, at least
right.
in this way, and maybe emphasize real life skills that your child could probably use now, unless your kid's going into maybe the gaming industry and you see a real talent around that.
Right.
This, to me, is sort of another form of helicopter parenting. And I know we've talked about that in this show, where you're hovering
right.
and you're too involved and you're trying to keep your kids from feeling bad because they don't win a game. Would you do that with your own child?
No.
I know.
No,
I just think it's so crazy to me.
Well, the concern for kids playing Fortnite and other games is that there's controversy around these games forming an addictive habit. We read stories of kids becoming aggressive with their parents who take the games away, and then they miss school and they miss school to play the game and other maybe destructive habits.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But before we get into it, I went to that GameQuitters.com site again. They had a quiz for parents to take. So I think it might be good if we just go through the 9 questions in the quiz. And if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, you're listening to this and you're really concerned about maybe a grandchild or a child who seems to be playing too many games and maybe has that addictive quality and they're screaming, yelling, upset when they're asked to play, we're going to go through these, Chris, and see if they resonate with people. So let's start with the first question on the quiz, and it is, does your child spend a lot of time thinking about games even when they're not playing, or are they thinking about when they're going to play them next?
Those conversations have come up with some of the younger kid
You're
type
right.
games, and Evie, for example, will say, hey, did you know that you can do this, this, and this, and this? And I'm like, that's cool, but we're not going to invest a lot of time talking about your computer game right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, not a great real-life skill.
Right. Does the individual feel restless, irritable, moody, angry, anxious, bored, or sad when attempting to cut down or stop gaming or when they are unable to play? It sounds like cigarettes.
Well, it is. No, so what they're saying is it has the same addictive quality. And in some kids, as we'll get into this. So again, if your child is reacting that way, I would say that's a problem. Third question, does the child feel the need to play? And you know I'm saying child, but we could probably do this with adult
That's right.
people as well. Yeah. So let's say the individual. Does the individual feel the need to play for increasing amounts of time, play more exciting games, or use more powerful equipment to get the same amount of excitement than they used to?
Wow. Has the individual felt that they should play less but are unable to cut back on the amount of time that they spend playing games?
Well, you catching the connection with addiction here?
Yeah, really.
You want to stop, but you can't. You have to have more. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Has the individual lost interest in or reduced participation in other recreational activities? So maybe they're not spending time with other friends in real life time. They're getting away from their hobbies because gaming is taking up all their time.
Right. And then has the individual continued to play a game even though they were aware of the negative consequences, such as not getting enough sleep, being late to school or to work, and spending too much money, having arguments with others, or neglecting important duties?
And these are all things that parents are reporting with some kids.
Wow.
Has the individual been deceptive or lied to family, friends, or others about how much they are playing the games, or they try to keep family or friends from knowing how much they are spending time on gaming?
Well, this one I think is important. Does the individual game to escape from or forget about personal problems, or to relieve uncomfortable feelings such as guilt, anxiety, helplessness, or depression? Now, this sounds like alcohol.
Yeah, it's a really good point on that question, because if you are using it to escape real life, and especially with kids, we don't want them forming a habit of doing anything to escape real life.
Right.
And then the final question on the quiz is, has the individual risked or lost significant relationships? is it affecting their relationships at school? Are they only with their gaming friends? And if it's adults, is it interfering with their job? Maybe even kids at school. There's a lot of kids at school missing their first class because they're on the game and they're playing the game and they're not going to class. So what are they missing as a result of their gaming time?
Well, depending on how you answer those questions, your child or your adult could have a problem. When we come back, can gaming be an addiction, or is it simply a life balance problem?
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and today's topic is internet gaming, addiction, or life problem. And we've got a lot more to talk about, but before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamintel.com. That's where you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. An easy way to know what she is writing about each day is to follow her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Mintel or on Facebook. And if you need more help with conflict because gaming is creating problems in your family, get her book, We Need to Talk, a book that helps you navigate conflict around relationship expectations.
So, Chris, I want to start this segment with a story. This is a true story. I found this on the internet. I just couldn't believe it. So there was a 23-year-old male who was engaged for 23 hours straight playing a game called League of Legends. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that game is, but he was in a Taiwan internet cafe. And sadly, he had a heart attack and he died while he was playing the game. Now, apparently, he had some kind of prior heart condition, mm-hmm. but his body sat for 9 hours before anyone realized that he had died.
Wow.
30 people sat around him, yet no one noticed that he died. And according to the report, his heart attack was brought on by low temperatures, fatigue, and the lack of movement. And yet he did have a prior heart condition. But the question is, how did 30 people playing games in the same room not know somebody had died for 9 hours?
And it's a great lead-in to the concern we all have with gaming and possible digital addiction with gaming. I have children, as do many of our listeners. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what the consequences of gaming can be. Do your kids do this?
No, I have millennials, as I mentioned, and you know, it was just beginning, and we really kept them focused on other things. I had a daughter heavily involved in dance and in musicals, and our son was in soccer and other things. So we did really hold the line and didn't have a lot of time because we kept them really busy. But an estimated 150 million plus Americans play video games.
Wow.
We're talking about a lot of people here.
Almost half.
Yeah. And gaming is really big. And I know that your kids are young, and so you're not really dealing with the limit setting yet. But, boy, you're going to have to really hold the line in this area.
Right. And there are games already available for young kids that are sort of educational.
Yeah.
And they're not so much fun, but they're a little more educational. We do let them do that.
Okay.
But like we said in the first segment, when Evie asked me about Fortnite, I said, nah,
I don't think so. Don't do it yet.
Well, before we talk about the problems with gaming, we do want to say that there are some positive benefits.
Yeah, there are. So increased cognitive effort, you know, enhanced motivation towards goals, some improved memory with having to remember sequences, that kind of thing, and hand-eye coordination, to name a few. There are some actual professions that practice simulating with gaming, and they make people better. I know surgeons use this, pilots practice in simulation. So the question that always comes up, is gaming a disorder? Is it considered an addiction?
So give us an update then on the status of internet gaming and how the mental health world currently thinks about it.
So it was being studied when the new, what's called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, it's called the DSM-5, came out. This is the standard classifications of mental disorders. It's used by all the mental health professionals in the United States. And during the time that that new version came out, they did not classify this as an addiction, but they put it in the back of the manual that said this is a condition that needs to be studied. Now, fast forward a few years since that manual's come out, there is also something called the International Classification of Disease. And you'll hear about it. It's called the ICD, and we're on the 11th version of that. Mm-hmm. That is a comprehensive manual of disease classification that's used all over the world. And they came up with their updated diagnostic manual recently, and they included gaming as a mental health disorder. So it's an important manual that's used by medical practitioners all around the world for reimbursement of disease and other conditions, and they made it an addiction.
So why has the ICD said that it is an addiction? What do they base that on?
They put three characteristics that they say are similar to substance use. So as we were going through that quiz, you were saying, this sounds like alcohol. This sounds like smoking. Sounds like a drug use, right? So here's what they came up. Three things. A pattern of gaming that takes precedence over all activities, and it interferes with completing other things. So it's just way too much of a priority in a person's life, right? They're playing it at the expense of everything else. Second characteristic they came up with is despite negative consequences. So think about that with addiction. People that are using know that it's bad, and it hurts people, and it hurts their lives, but they continue to use, right? Because of what it's doing in the brain. So the person continues the behavior with gaming, escalates playing it, and it persists, and it just constantly is a part of their life. And then the third characteristic is game playing leads to distress and impairment in a person's family life, their social life, their educational life, if they're working, their occupational life. And they may also have sleep disturbances, diet problems, and a lack of physical activity is the most obvious one.
Right.
The person has to meet those three characteristics, and then it has to be going on for at least 12 months unless the symptoms are really severe, and then it can be diagnosed sooner. And the diagnosis can only be made by mental health professionals or health professionals. And the researchers who have looked into this assure us that it is a very small percentage of people that will actually meet those criteria and will be considered struggling with an addiction.
You know, some parents are reporting stories like this. When I've taken the Xbox away, I kid you not, the kid went through withdrawals each time, laying around the house grumpy and a somewhat depressed attitude for at least 2 days after it's been taken away, and every day asking me when he could get the Xbox back.
So I think a lot of parents are relating to that story probably right now. And we can all agree that there are people who play too much and they do have a problem, but I don't know if I'm ready to label this a mental health problem yet. I do wonder if it's a life balance problem. You know, there are a lot of things that people can do to excess. We could talk about people who play sports to excess. I mean, I know people who miss church, they miss school, they do everything because their kids are on traveling teams, and I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying that, is it a balance problem?
Right.
Are we talking about something that really could be a balance problem? Now, I know this is more complicated because it's hitting a part of the brain where the reward centers are involved and it's functioning a little bit more in the brain like an addiction, but I'm not sure I'm ready to say that yet. It's a little bit subjective, and so it really does depend on who you talk to, Chris. I think we need a lot more studies in this area, and I think the jury is still out, but we're going to see more and more talk about whether this fits the whole idea of addiction.
And there are physical effects to prolonged gaming.
Yeah, there are. So there's repetitive motion injuries. Have you? I mean, doctors are seeing this, headaches.
Like tennis elbow in your thumb?
You're having carpal tunnel, headaches, nausea. Those are just a few.
Wow. And is there treatment for those who feel that it has become an addiction?
Actually, there are residential facilities that have started to offer this to kids and have their parents actually sending their kids to a residential program. Usually the treatment is a treatment called cognitive behavior therapy. It's the same type of therapy that's recommended for substance use, actually, but they're working on the thoughts and the behaviors and the emotions around it. And so there are people who are beginning to say, you know what, we're going to treat it. We're going to treat it like it is an addiction, even though it's in the process of being studied, because there's a lot of parents who are listening to us now that are very concerned as to how much time and energy their kids are spending on these games. And remember, you're the parent. You still have control over this time of gaming and the games themselves, because there's no few people that are 12 and 13 years old that can go out and afford a gaming system on their own.
That's true. That's right. Well, we need to take a short break, but when we come back, let's give some tips on how to help keep gaming in balance and not become an addiction. More on internet gaming when we return.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mento offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and let me remind you to check out Dr. Linda's books and blogs. Just go to her website, drlindamental.com, and follow her on social media. And there are so many great blogs on her website. Again, that's drlindamental.com. And Dr. Linda, you also have a free e-newsletter.
I do, and sometimes I'll place interviews that I do on the news. If you're a subscriber and it's free, then you see all those interviews when they come up.
Right. Well, today we're talking about gaming. So let's talk about how to help kids with gaming and using the internet in ways that are healthy. Parents need some guidelines on this one.
They really do. And it is tough. I think about if I had kids this age, how tough that would be. But the first thing I want to say is don't make gaming the enemy. So, you know, you don't want to set up like this oppositional, because it's part of kids' life, right? They're going to go to school. They're going to be with people who are gaming. It's a form of entertainment. Now, it can be problematic, as we've noted, for some kids. So you have to watch your child, and you have to look for those signs where they're telling you, this is a problem. My kid is spending too much time. The things that we talked about in that little introduction that we did about gaming problems. But as a parent, you really need to be curious about what they are doing and interested in. So play the games. Play them yourself. Play them with them. And as you build a rapport with your child, you create that kind of trust connection with your kid. And then you can have conversations about gaming. What games do they enjoy and why? And be very genuine. So I would say when your daughter brings it up, Chris, about Fortnite, ask her, what have you heard about that game? Mm-hmm. What do you think is fun about that game? Why do you think you would enjoy it? And just see what she knows.
So basically, you have to pay attention to what they are doing. And sadly, many, like you said, many parents don't take the time to do this. But gaming is something that they will be exposed to. So what is your advice on time management? Because you can get carried away pretty easily with this.
So it's like all the digital stuff that kids are dealing with now. You have to just help them to be a good netizen, right? Mm-hmm. They have to be good at their internet time, whether it's gaming or screen watching or whatever they're doing. Maybe, you know, you give them a set of time and you say, this is the time you can play. And again, the recommendation from the pediatric groups is that they shouldn't be playing more than 2 hours a day on any screen.
Hmm.
Yikes.
That would seem to be excessive.
Oh my gosh, you haven't had teenagers yet. So the amount of time they're on their phone, watching TV, on their computers, right, screen times. You know, the problem is that a lot of times they play all this stuff in their bedrooms. And so again, they can easily log on. So you've got to create environments where you can see what they're doing. You can focus on their things like studying, because this is really about a balance issue. Hmm. So one of the things you can do is tell them to go to the library to study. I say that and I think that's probably archaic. You know, you have to drive them to the library and say you can study in there. There are computers in the library, too.
They would end up on one.
So kids do that. But you've got to help them manage their time. There's just no way to go around that.
Well, if you become really negative about gaming and say that they can't do it, won't they want to do it more?
Yeah, isn't that how we work?
Right.
The more we say something, the more we say something is going to be resisted, the more we're going to persist to want it.
Right.
Kind of sets up an expectation. So I think the message is, the things that we love to do, we just can't do all the time. There's like real life in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to study. You have to do other things. But it is our nature. If we think something's going to be deprived from us and taken away from us, we sort of want it more. So I would say, don't say you can't do that, can't play that. No, you're not going to be gaming. Instead, set some realistic limits and then get them involved in other things.
Right.
Get them in other activities.
Well, then there's the issue of peer pressure. What if all of their friends are doing it? That's pretty tempting, especially the way these games are designed these days. It becomes a part of your social life.
It does. It does. So one of the things I'm really encouraging parents today is to get your child to have some friends that are not gamers. So then they're not going to do it, right? My daughter's dance friends, they were not into gaming. They just didn't have time.
Right.
So encourage them to something else. Talk to people about other topics than gaming so you can change the conversation at the kitchen table and say, okay, you know, games are fun, they're entertaining, but what else is going on?
Right.
And then help them maybe join some clubs and some new groups. I think this is where the church group could really play a role, where they go and they get involved in their church group and they do other things.
You know, some kids do really seem to be drawn to gaming and computers and that type of thing, and then some can become obsessed with it. Why is that?
So I think you need to understand what draws your teen or your tween to it and how the technology is designed to hook a person who plays it, because it really is. If you have addiction in your family, you really want to watch the playing habits. Is gaming easier than real life? If it's an escape thing like we talked about before, those kids are going to be more at risk for getting too involved in this.
You know, we've talked the entire program about how this sounds a lot like addiction.
Mm-hmm.
There are some strong driving forces involving gaming.
There are. So beating the game, the desire to finish it. I don't mm-hmm. know, like you, I want to end it. I want to finish it when right. I'm playing it, right? There's the competition part of it. So you're pitting yourself against other people. There's a mastery component to that because if I beat them, I feel powerful. I feel like maybe I'm really, you know, important, or I'm sort of some kind of a god in this artificial environment that I'm in.
Yeah.
There's the whole idea of exploration. So they're discovering new things. They're discovering secret things because there's always these secret clues in games, hidden levels of the game. You know, they're beating somebody with a high score. So that gives them a sense of pride. There's a sort of a story-driven component to this. So it's compelling the kids to see how their stories end. They got to keep playing. They got to know how the story ends. And then, as you mentioned, there's this relationship component where they're building anonymous but virtual relationships with other people. So
right.
there's a lot involved in gaming that's drawing kids in.
Well, like we said, this is it's a powerful force. And as we wrap the show up today, let's go over some bottom line guidelines.
Don't start them out young. Like Chris is saying, he's not going to let his 10-year-old start out on it yet because their brains are more vulnerable to addiction the younger they are. Don't give them easy access to playing, so monitor the playing time. Limit the playing time to reasonable amounts. Don't use gaming as a reward for other things. Use other types of rewards to motivate them. Don't give in to continuous requests to keep playing, so be firm as a parent. Don't ignore your gut if you think it's too much. Let that make them stop. Talk about how idols develop in our lives. So gaming can become an right. idol if they're spending too much time on it. Spend a lot of time with your kids. Develop other ways to have fun. Encourage them to do less things for self-gratification and more to serve others. And help them steward their time wisely. You know, this is a tough area for parents, Chris. But remember, you're in charge. You've been entrusted to train your children in ways that will prepare them for the future. And with God's help, you can teach them discipline and balance. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you again next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.